My Soy Shabbos, November 24th, 2007, Pesach Torah Institute, Rabbi Shlomo Singer Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva, Shir given by Rabbi Avraham Shulman, Lessons to Live By.
Welcome to our Shir, Motzei Shabbos Shir. Motzei Shabbos Parshas Vayishlach. The Shir tonight is Zecher Nishmas. Ephraim ben Hillel, and Mark ben Alexander, and the refreshments are sponsored by the Kushner family, Zecher Nishma, Segel Bat Baruch. Our learning should be an Eloi for all the Neshamos.
Amen.
So Chazal tell us, on a well-known medrash brought down by the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayetzei, that when Yaakov had his Mara, his dream of the Sulam, that he saw a vision of four Galuyos. He saw a vision of four different galuts in this vision that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him. He saw Bavel, vision of the galus Bavel, four different exiles, the first one being Bavel, and it went up and it came down. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him a vision of Madai, the Persian galus, and it went up again, and Yaakov saw it came down. Third galus of Yavon, we're going to see shortly in Hanukkah, went up and came down. And finally came to the fourth galus, to the Golus Edom, and Yaakov saw that the rungs of the ladder were being climbed and climbed and climbed, and the Lashon of the Medrash is, Ola Veino Yored. But it went up and it didn't come down. Yaakov got very scared. He saw that the Golus had indicated it wasn't going to end. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, it's up to you. Imtag via Kinesher. And it's up to you. If you want to end this Golus, this fourth Golus, which was the Golus of Edom, that you can end it. The time isn't set, there's no case, there's no set time when it's going to end, but it's up to you could end it. And unfortunately, that aliyah of that gullus that Yaakov Avinu was shown in that vision of the Gulf of Edom, that's the gullus that we're in right now. We're currently right now still living in that long, terrible gullus of the Gulf of Edom that we started with, so the descendants of Esav. We're living in this gullus right now. And we're still, as many Mepharshim write, Akati, Avde Edom, we're still servants of Edom. The world is ruled by their descendants of Edom, of Rome, of Christianity, and we're living in this exile, in this gullus. So certainly we want to understand, for living in this gullus, how should we live through it? And if you look at Parshas Vayishlach, it's really a textbook. It's almost a guide as to how one should live through this gullus. In Parshas Vayishlach, there's a well-known chazal that tells us that some of the Tanoim, when they had to visit with the Caesar, with the Roman Caesar, they would read and they would learn through Parshas Vayishlach. Because they would learn from there how to go ahead and how to deal with the Tzara, how to deal with the crisis. It says one time Rav Yochanan forgot to learn over Parshas Vayishlach. He went to meet with the Caesar, and he failed in his mission. He failed terribly. That this particular Parsha that we learned this morning, this is the Madrich, this is the way to look at life in the Gulf. And even more than that, Ramban, the Haktam, the Parsha of Yishlach, is a short little paragraph. He says, this Parsha was written down to teach us how to live today. The remnant of Dorot, that everything that occurred to Yaakov Avinu and Esav is going to happen to us also. So certainly tonight, if we want to understand living the times that we're living in and how to deal with the secular society, Gaisha society around us, this is the Parsha to look at. And coincidentally or not, it happens to be Thanksgiving weekend. When it comes to Thanksgiving, that's the secular holiday that Frum Yidden love. Why? Because you don't have this tension. When it comes to the December season, so there's a big tension because the Geisha holidays, and we certainly shouldn't observe them, we don't want to acknowledge them, but there's tension from some of your coworkers, from people that you may work with, well, I have to recognize their day, it'd be rude if I didn't, when can I give them a gift, when can I not give them a gift, do I come to the party, do I not come to the party, I'm left out, I'm the token Jew here. And there's a tension, and it doesn't recall good times for us either. I always think of Hanukkah, in a certain sense, it's either bracha or klala that it coincides with the Geisha holidays. If you look at it in the right way, it's a tremendous bracha, because you see the contrast. You say, they have their day, we have ours. And look what ours is about, look what theirs is about. But if you don't get the essence of what Hanukkah is, then it looks like the Jewish version of what they're doing, which is terrible, which is certainly not what it's about. So Thanksgiving everyone really likes. And who doesn't, right? You could give a whole vort on it. It's Hodah, it's Modim, Thanksgiving, it's a mitzvah, it's a good thing to do. And I'm not here to criticize if you observe Thanksgiving or not. In my family growing up, my grandparents, very, very Torahic people, from people, Rabbanim, we went Thanksgiving, we went to their house. we had a meal there. So it's certainly a thing to do. But at the same time, it could be that this is a good weekend, a good time, Parshas Yishlach and Thanksgiving, to think about how much we're affected by the society around us. What's our appropriate attitude, especially for us, who are living mamish in the United States, we're living mamish in the spitz of Gullus here, right? This is it. This is the place, the highlight of secular culture. So what's our proper derech that we should have towards living in these times? So we'll look at the Parsha today, and we'll hopefully try to get a proper Torah hashkafa, how to live in this type of a society in these times that we're living in. So we look at the Parsha in the first part of the Parsha. So we see, and I mentioned this in a little Dvar Torah that I wrote, that Yaakov is meeting Esav, and he's afraid, certainly, of the showdown of the battle that he's going to have with Esav, and he fears for his life. And we know that he makes the famous three things he has to do for his establish. He goes and he gives a doron, he gives a gift, he has tefillah, he daven, and he prepares for Muhammad, he prepares for battle. And those are the classic three establish that a person is supposed to make. If you're in a situation where you're in danger, you try to do some kind of a sophisticated idea, some political move that will get you out of the circumstance, something that will help you leave the danger. And sometimes you have to do maybe involving even money and gifts and appeasement in some fashion. And then, of course, you combine it with tefillah, with davening. There's a hishtalus and a tefillah is an important balance. You don't all just daven and then say, Hakam Hashem, you didn't save me. You know, the famous joke of the guy that was drowning in the water and said, Hashem, where were you? I sent you in a helicopter, the lifeboat, and all this, that's where I was. We make both. At the same time, you certainly don't just make hishtalus and not daven because you know that everything's a Yad Hashem. And if you have to, you fight it out. But Yaakov certainly wasn't only afraid of the Muhammad with Esav. Seeing throughout the parasha, the Beit HaLevi said a beautiful word on this, that he was afraid of also being friends with Esav. The Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav, the double lashon, that he was, first of all, he's afraid of Esav if he's going to come and fight me with Tarba Meos Ishimo. But if he acts me as an ach, as a brother, so it's not so good to be friends with an Esav either. That's also very dangerous. That's not the type of brother, not the type of friend that you'd possibly need. And you see this a lot of times in the parasha. He says, about the year of a Yetzer, that he was afraid in two different ways. Sam Sofer mentions this, that Yaakov was afraid in many different ways of being with Esav. He didn't want to have anything to do with him, whether it was as a foe or a friend. So this is something that Yaakov was afraid of. So he does these three hachonos. So we read in the beginning of the parsha, he sends the malachim, he sends the first group of messengers, they come back and they say, doesn't look good, Esav's got 400 men, he's bearing down on you. He prepares all the matanos, he sends a tremendous amount of animals, and he gives them all these matanos and the gifts, and the Esav takes them. Good, the story continues. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this story, we're left with what I think is the biggest question what needs to be understood in this parsha. So it tells us that Yaakov, they go to sleep for the night, they set up camp, and the famous pasuk, Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, he's left alone. We're not going to go into why he was left alone, but he went for Pasim Ketanim. That's another story. Just the simple shot that a tzaddik views everything Hashem gives him as crucial, as important, nothing is happenstance. What happens? He's left alone. He wrestles with this mysterious ish until the morning. So we know the Chazal tell us that this is the Sarashal Ezel. It's a Medrash from Bereishis Rabba. Tells us that this man wasn't just any man. This was the Sar, the angel of Esav. So we have to try to understand this particular event. Well, what's going on here? In the middle of the story, right? Yaakov's about to meet Esav. The encounter is about to take place. All of a sudden, in the middle of this, he has this wrestling match with this unknown ish, this unknown man, and he sees that he can't be defeated, so the angel gives up, he can't defeat Yaakov, and Yaakov tells him he can't leave without giving me a bracha, he asks him his name, he tells him your name will be Yisrael, and many Mepharshim view this, that the ikar here was a confirmation of the brachos. Rashi seems to take this derech. Now what was happening here was that before Yaakov was going to meet up with Esav, he'll say, you can't tie on me that I stole the brachos from you. Because the confirmation here that the brachos were given to me, and even this your mouth has given them to me. Then finally, he can't defeat him totally, so he injures him in the thigh. We have a mitzvah gidon nash until this day. And then we go back to the story of Esav. Then the Perek Lamed Gimel, the Torah tells us, here comes Esav, and they meet. The encounter happens. So what's the understanding of this parsha? I never really understood it. What's this match about? What's the fight about? And why does it seem to take place? Mamish comes in the middle of the story with Esav. Is this his wrestling match? Certainly, this will be some kind of a megala, some havana for us, some understanding of what the essence of the showdown between Yaakov and Esav was. So, I'd like to learn with you a beautiful perish of the Malbim, one of the Gedolei Achronim in this parsha, and his understanding of this. As I mentioned before, Chazal tell us that this was the Sar Shel Esav. And if you look at the Parsha, certainly we'll have to say that this was some kind of a spiritual showdown, a spiritual battle. But if you look at the Pesukim, and Yaakov says, Shalcheni ke'ol ha-shachar, so you have to give me a bracha, Mashemecha, what's your name? And Yaakov asks him what his name is, and Yaakov calls the place, Pniel, because Kiri Isi Elokim Panim Uponim. Certainly this is something of a Ruchni Yizdika type of a nature. The Rambam, as he has his Derech throughout Chumash, in the Mori, says that this is a Nevuah. It wasn't really, literally, some kind of a physical fight. It was a Nevuah. All the Mepharshim ask on the Rambam, and they don't agree with him. The simplest question on the Rambam is that generally if you have a Nevuah and you have a vision, it's hard to get injured by just having a dream. You know, unless you have a really, really, you know, crazy dream. But generally, there's just kind of a mara, some kind of a vision. So how's Yaakov? The Torah says he was mamish limping. It wasn't just some kind of a, you know, a spiritual vision he was shown, but he mamish got hurt. So everyone says that this was really, really, they were wrestling, that his avkus, that the dirt, dust was coming up, but it reached the shemayim. Chazal tells the Gemara Chulin says that the offer that they were kicking around when they were wrestling, it reached the shemayim. That this was like a battle. This was like a heavenly battle that was the whole world, the whole one was totally on this. So let's learn what the Malbim says and see if we can understand a little bit more about the showdown between Yaakov and the Malbim. So the Malbim says, very, very deep point. Malbim explains that a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, Tov V'Ra, there's good and evil in this world. And the good and evil in this world usually represented in the Gashmis, in the physical side, and the Ruchnis. And for example, a human being is a combination of these two things. Every human being has within them a combination of Guf, of our physical body, which wants gashmius things, wants materialism, wants pleasure, wants to enjoy that side of life, guf, like a behemah, or a nefesh bahamas. And then we also have within us the tzel melukim and a shama. We have within us the tov that represents ruchnius. So that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and you have these two forces constantly in the world being mixed together. This is the battle within us and within the whole world. Baruch Hashem, we've been given a bechira, we've been given a strong koach to choose between this good and evil. A person can choose to live more like their ruchnius side, to be doma l'malo. Well, unfortunately, as we see, there are such people who choose to be doma l'behema. The father, guf, and there really is not that much difference between them and many creatures and many animals. They basically here in this world to have pleasure and eat and you know, reproduce and go to the bathroom, and so does a cow and so does a horse. That's how some people choose to live their life. Well, you know, unfortunately. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us this town, this Bechira. The same thing, says the Malbim, he made on a higher level, not necessarily a higher level, but in a more macro level, two nations that represent this good and this evil. That, of course, is Yisrael, represents the Tov in the world, and Edom, who represents that side of the Ra in the world. Those are the two nations that Hashem made, and just like in our bodies, and just like in the world, we have Tov and Ra that are battling each other. You have Yisrael, the Edom, these two nations that fight against each other, who are battling between this Tov and this Ra. So that's Yisrael and that's Edom, the sons of Esav. So these nations also have a Bechira, also have a choice as to how they're going to go. And the Malbim explains that when the Bnei Yisrael, who are the Tov in the world, they choose to keep mitzvos, so they're on top. He says, for example, you see in the days of the Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni, that the Malchus Yisrael, we are on top. And therefore the Edom, and that side of the Ra, can have no dominion over us on this side. So he says, just like in a human being, that we have these two aspects of us. So this is called the Sar Yisrael, and the Koach Elyon, in the higher spheres of this Tov, that's the Sar Yisrael. And the higher spheres of this nation, there's the Sar of Esau, that's called Samael. And the other Mepharshim talk about this also, Samael, it's not an accent, it's called it. Sam means a poison. Or Kliyotar explains on this, similar explanation of the Malbim, it's like a summa, a blindness. Sam Kael, a poison against Hashem, or the Kliyotar explains, a summa, it tries to blind your seichel. At the sour base of this nation, that's their role in the world, is to take away the seichel, take away the telmul, take away the good, to try to blind those things. So he says that's the job of what the sour base tries to do. And therefore, when there's no kim of Esav, so there's good in the world, there's tov. But if we don't keep mitzvos, when we go down, so then Esav, the Sar Esav, can have power, and it's able to rise above. So he says, in this Nevuah, he calls it a Nevuah Mucheshes. There's something that he could feel. Maybe it's like a in between death, between the Rambam and the other Mitzvot. He says it's a nevuah, but it's something that it was an actual thing. He writes that they were really wrestling with something that was going on. In this nevuah mucheshes, why did Yaakov see this before he was going to meet Esav? Before he could meet Esav, he had to fight within himself a spiritual battle. A ruchnius aliyah has to be with Yaakov Avinu to be Moshe over his ra, to rule over the Yetzer Ra that was within him. Let's just see a little bit inside, he says, Yeranam. I'll just quote a little bit. Before he'd meet Esav, im lulchom im lahashem osel, whether to fight and make peace with him, ha'ilo mechom im astar shalo. He had a mechom with his star. Ha'inu ma yeta har prati shebegufo. Yaakov was fighting his own yeta inside his guf. That represents that star. The gam yeta har kol shu Samuel Kalin, that also included this Samuel. Sarah Uma wrote to Hachti Zer Yaakov, the nation, the angel who wants to destroy the nation of Yaakov and his descendants. And this Malach was Lovash Sura Gashmias. He wore like physical raiment, like a physical clothing. He was wrapped up in these things. We know that the Malachim, like by Avraham Avinu, they come and they wear like they appear in a physical form. So Yaakov Avinu had to go through this battle within himself to complete himself, be misakin himself, defeat his internal Yitzhara, and then he could fight Esau. And he says, that's pshat in the pasuk by Yivasha Yaakov Levad, he was left alone. What does it mean he was left alone? It means that Yaakov had to prepare himself for this Nevuah, prepare himself to overcome his Gashmi side, and then he's left alone to disprepare, now he can fight Esau. So this is what, according to the Malbim, what the fight was. Yaakov had a spiritual battle to completely rule over his Gashmi, his Yetzer Hara. And on the national level, the macro level, and the whole world depended on this, because the Sar Yisrael versus the Samael, Yaakov was fighting at this battle also. And that's what it means the Gemara says, that the dust of their feet reached the key to their cover, because the whole, you know, future of the world depended on this. So there's a little bit of a Havana in what was going on. Now, I want to say, Lanias Daiti, that this Nitzachim Ruchnias that Yaakov, you know, had, this victory that he was going to have over his Gashmi side and win and become a Ruchnistic person in total, completely, I'd like to suggest that this was the main tafkid, the main task that Yaakov had to fight with. I don't think it's such a chiddush what I'm saying. That when Yaakov Avinu was going to come face Esav now, so he had to make his ishtablus. We spoke about that. He had to make his ishtablus, he had to do his three things. So he sent him a lot of gifts, all the animals and all the money, terrific. And he had to daven, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he daven, and if he needs to, here he comes. Esav's coming, Yaakov stands in front, Esav, I'm ready to take you. It's okay, like the Kashmir, I have Hashem on my side, whatever, we'll work it out. You have 400 men with you, you're stronger than me. A lot of Jews or holy people have defeated stronger enemies in history, he'll fight them. That's all the Hishtablus. But the Ikra, of course, is, if Yaakov Avinu can live the way he's supposed to live the life of the tzaddik, be the Ishtam, Yoshev Ahal, and be what the Kadosh Baruch Hu want him to be, then of course Esav can't touch him. He has no power of him at all. That's what it says in the beginning of Toldos. Right? That if Yaakov is up, then Esav is down. If Yaakov is up, then he doesn't have to worry about Esav. Esav will automatically fall away. And if you look at the Pesukim after, I think it's really what happened. Again, no chidushim here. What happens? In the beginning of Perek Lamed Gimel, after Yaakov defeats the Malach, so what happens? Yaakov looks up, here's Esav. He's coming. He puts the Rachel first, then himself, then Leah, then Rachel. Who over with Nahem, he bows down, Vyartis of the Crosso, Vyichab Keyu, Vyibal Tabab, Yishakeyu, Vyibku. So Esav hugs him and kisses him. Okay, we know the Machlokas, was it a real hug, was it a real kiss? Did he want him, did he not want him? The point is though, it was a no showdown. It was a lot of, you know, fanfare, big PR, big promo. When he came to the fight, there were no punches thrown. There was no fight at all. Because once Yaakov defeated that Samael, once he defeated within himself, that side, the Gashmi side, the Yetzer Hara, it was automatic. It was a melee that Esav's going to go down. He can't touch him. Yaakov's on top. Esav can't touch him. I think that's the shot here and what's going on in this Muhammad. Now we understand why it's in the middle of the story. Right? What's going on here? It's a very interesting thing. On the way, it's a fight. It's not. He's a battle. That's exactly the shot why it's here. Because this was the Iker Muhammad that Yaakov was fighting. Once he defeated this star, Esav's finished. That's all. So it could be this as we understand it. Now we'll move on to a little bit to see a second part here, a beautiful second part, and something that we could learn, as I mentioned, we're going to try to discuss our approach to a Goyish world around us and Goyish. So Rav Hirsch has a beautiful idea here He says, after Yaakov wrestles with him, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Lamed and Pasuk Chav Zayin, by Yomer Shacheni Kala HaShachar, so the Malach said, let me go. By Yomer, and Yaakov says, Lo Asher Yilachacha, Kim Berachtoni, I won't let you go until you give me a bracha. So wait a minute. Who's in charge? Who's the boss? Right? The Malach comes to fight Yaakov Avinu, and he's telling you can't go, I'm not going to let you go. Rashbam even says, Pshat, he says, he didn't want Yaakov to run away. He wanted to make sure that Yaakov was going to go meet Esau, so the promise should come true that Hashem told him that's going to happen. So in the beginning, Yaakov was subjugated. And now what happens? Yaakov says, Anna, you're not going back anywhere. Right? All the kids learn, right? They had to go up to Shira, back to Shemayim. Yaakov says, you can't go. Someone, you can't go yet. You have to give me a bracha. So listen to what Hirsch says. Hirsch says, beautiful. He says, as we noted, this was not just a fight between two people. This is like the global milchama for the future of world history, says the verse. The purpose of history will not be accomplished by Yaakov being forced to be absorbed by the masses of the nations. Meaning, it's not going to be that Klal Yisrael becomes Nichlal and what the Goyim of the nations will want to do to us. Well, that's not how it works. They don't drive it and we follow them. We're not in the back seat following what they want to happen. No, it's by care. By the reverse, the nations will at last see and get the insight that it's just in the principles which have been represented and held high by Yaakov in the midst of his struggle for existence that their happiness and security lies to. It's an unbelievable idea. That the Umos Olam are supposed to see that it's through us and through our values that we have, they should follow us. Right? That's what we daven every day in Elena. We say, the Chol Bnei Vos Yikru Shmech, that all the nations of the world should see Hashem. So we have a big job, according to this. That we have to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And I think that's the first foundation that I want to suggest here tonight, that one of the things that our task and our job in living in Golis here amongst the nations is that we have a tremendous achrayus to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And if you look at the Pesukim in the Torah, again, I don't think there's a major Kiddush. There's Parsha Pshat and Pesukim in the Torah. Look in Parsha Tzitzchanan. In Parsha Tzitzchanan, in the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu is exhorting the Jewish people here to keep the mitzvos. So he says here, he reminds them that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us many mitzvos at Har Sinai, and it says, Ushmartem v'asisem, ki hi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'ini ha'amim. You should keep the mitzvos. Why? Because this is how to be deemed as chachamim, as wise people, uvinaschem, and having deep discernment amongst the nations of the world. When they hear that you have these laws, the amru, here's what the guy was supposed to say, Rak am chacham v'navon ha'gadol go lazeh. How wise and how great is this nation? That's what they're supposed to do. This is our job. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us. You keep mitzvahs, so we always think, I gotta be a firm person, I gotta keep mitzvahs, and I want my children to have good shidduchim, and I should have bracha from all my mitzvahs, and I want to be a tzaddik and go to Shemayim Gan Eden. It's great. We're forgetting we have a job here. Our job is all we're going to teach the world. That's what they're supposed to say about us. Now live in the next pasuk. This is the continuing. This is what the nations of the world will say about us. Ki mi goy gadol shelo elo kim krovim elav kashem elo kim lachol karin elav. Read the whole pasuk. Who? Where is there a nation that has a Kadosh Baruch Hu close to them like their God? Who calls them? Who's so close to them? That's what they're supposed to say about us. The Sfarno says in this pasuk, he says that if we don't keep the mitzvos, so that's why it's a temple. It's a chil Hashem. Because the nation is going to say, excuse me, you're the chosen people, right? Someone told me recently they were at a business affair, and there was he met an evangelical Christian, and he said that the guy had kosher food. He said, you're an Orthodox Jew? You're the chosen people. Let me get close to him and get near you. He got a little nervous. He didn't know what he was going to do to him. But that's right. That's what we're known as. That's what the chosen people. So we're supposed to say about us. We're supposed to say, who's like you? Your God is so close to you. Well, what a chil Hashem it is if we're supposed to be kosher close to us, and he's so far from us. That's why we have so many tzaras and galus. It's a chil Hashem. Because the ultimate thing is that a kosher is not seen. He's not with us. Right? So this is something we really need to think about. Rashi says in these psukim that we don't think this sometimes. You always think sometimes you're like embarrassed to do a mitzvah, right? You're going somewhere, you have to daven mincha in the airport, whatever it is. It says that through our doing mitzvahs, they'll think, oh, how wise is this nation? Rabbeinu Bachya says, even the chukim, he wants to make no sense. So if Jewish people, are very polite and are honest, they're good in business, so that makes sense. Even things that they wouldn't understand. Tzitzis and tefillin and shatnas and kashrus, even those things will think of as chachamim. So that's our job. And how sad and how unfortunate that it isn't too often that we hear goyim say this about us. But not really what they're saying is, how close the Kaddish Baruch to this nation. Usually, unfortunately, Jews are in the news for other things. Things that aren't saying how wise and how special this nation, how close the Kaddish Baruch is to us. So this is one of our jobs in Golis. So we're close to the Goyim. We're living in their society. We have a big job to make a Kiddush Hashem. It's one of the things we have to do. So our own lives, I think, is something we could do. Now, one of the greatest areas where, unfortunately, there's sometimes a problem, a lack of Kiddush Hashem, is certainly in the area of money and finances. So Baruch Hashem, Hashem blessed us that you didn't know how to make a dollar. And over the years, there's plenty of wealthy Jewish people who support a lot of good things in the world. At the same time, there's a certain attitude that if it comes to a guy, so, you know, it's a guy's money. I can do whatever I want. And, you know, there's people look at the government that way when it comes to paying taxes, when it comes to taking government funds. But, you know, when it comes to the guy's money, so you gotta do whatever you want. So first of all, it's mamash also. Okay? The Pasha Pshat and Gemara, Paskin, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Chosuk Neva, Chosuk Zela, it's also to steal. The Maragar, steal from a Yid, also steal from a non-Jew, 100%. Even, there's a day in the Gemara that says that a guy who's been mitzaras, who's oppressed us, there's a day in the Gemara that says, oh, in that case you could take them, we don't pass them that way. Even in that case, we don't pass them that way. But not only that. So that's a davar pashut, that's a halacha psukah, that it's, that gezalakam is also 100%, that's a halacha psukah, no question. Listen to this tosefta, the end of Baba Kama, it's brought down by Gos Harmonius in the beginning of Hilchot Kvela. Listen to this. How bad it is to steal from a guy. So who do you think? The halacha is you can't steal. Possibly in many places. You can't steal from a Yid. You can't steal from a guy. The same thing, you would think it's a little more serious when it comes to Yisrael. Listen to those chapters. It says, Hagozos hanochri chayiv lahachzis tosefta, if you want to look it up yourself, Perek Yud halacha kas. Hagozos hanochri chayiv lahachzis, if you steal from an Andrew, you have to return it. Chomor gezel hanochri migez Yisrael. Nay, Chilul Hashem, it's more chomor than stealing from a Jew. Because Chilul Hashem, stealing from a Yid, you're not allowed to do it. It's a din in the Torah, it's a din d'oraisa, it's an isser, it's an isser d'oraisa. You can hechshuv gezeila, you can return it to tshuva. But here, besides the isser, is an additional fact of Chilul Hashem. Not only that, listen how strong this is. Hagozol hanochri v'nishpalo umeis, you steal from a guy, and you swear that you didn't. And then the person dies. We know the Rambam explains to us that there are certain things that you can't be mechaper because of Chil Hashem. And Mis is mechaper for some of those things. Rambam, the Tosefta says that if a person steals from a guy and they die, there's no kapara because of Chil Hashem. That's how chomer the Tzavon is. So it's actually 180 degrees, opposite of what most people's attitude is towards these things. Most people's attitude is when it comes to money in these areas, so you know, you could dray around, you could do things, you could pull a stick here, there. It's mamish baker. It's more chomor than normal Yisrael. It's really something to think about. So I think the first thing we could take in living in a secular society, we have to make a Kiddush Hashem as much as we can. We have opportunities around us every day, from the small things, whether it's keeping, you know, your property in the proper manner, you know, and cleaning up. A lot of times you hear from neighborhoods, non-Jews are very upset by a small thing that we do. You know what it is? Walking in the streets on Shabbos. I can't say how many times I've seen them in different neighborhoods. But people complain that when it comes to Saturday, the Jews think they can take over the streets and you can't, there's no through traffic. Okay, so in Yerushalayim, they close the streets. But, you know, in Passaic County, we haven't reached that level yet. So when we do, fine. But until the police, you know, decide to close off, you know, those blocks, so there's a reason they're sidewalks. Okay, I know there's one street where there's no sidewalk, but forgetting that one. You know, you have to be careful. These are very simple ways where we can make a Kiddush Hashem. There's a famous story of Yaakov Kamenetsky that I think is very appropriate. When Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was nifter, so there was, of course, you know, a big levaya and people were mourning and they were a well-known fact. There was a nun who asked, well, what happened? Oh, he said, oh, yeah, this rabbi, Rabbi Kamenetsky died. She said, oh, really? It's very sad. She said, well, how do you know why he cared? I said, well, I am in this monastery, wherever it is, Alice, maybe you know where it is, in Muncie, and Jews walk by all the time. No one ever says hello to me. They look the other way. I've been living here all these years. No one says a word. There was this one rabbi, this small little rabbi, and he said hello to me every morning, good morning. That's with Yaakov Kamenetsky. That's a Kiddush Hashem. Did he want to speak to this lady? Did he want to talk to her? Did he have anything in common with a Catholic nun? But it's Kavod HaBrios. You say hello, you say good morning. So that's a little Kiddush Hashem we could do in our own lives. So I'd like to go through, in the time we have left, three other ideas, three other ways we could learn. There's plenty of time. We could learn from Gulfs, how we should behave in the nations around us. So one of the things that we forget is that we're Galen here, that we are visitors in these lands. This is not our real place. And sometimes we get a little too comfortable where we are. And this has, I think, many aspects to it. Number one, we make permanent homes. Navi Yirmiyahu, in a famous statement that Gemara brings down, told the people that they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, so you should build homes over there, but you should keep the document, keep the shtar for the place in Eretz Yisrael, because you're going to come back. You're supposed to come back. So sometimes we think this is our permanent home, it's our permanent place, and we become a little gaudy about it. So Kli Yakor writes some very strong words regarding this. Kli Yakor in Parshas Dvarim says over there, Pnul Cham Tzifona, that the Yisrael were going to turn north in the way they were going to travel. So Kli Yakor says exactly something about our Gullus. He says, what is this Tzifona that's going north? He looks at the word Tzifona, it could also mean what? Hidden. Right? Something hidden. This is a very well-known Kli Yakor. He says, Shem Yimsa Ish Yisraeli V'Gullus Hechel Hazeh, Ezo Hatzlacha Zeh Hashem. If the person finds himself in this Gullus, you have a little Hatzlacha. It's tremendous. Good, you have some Hatzlacha. So you're doing well. Oz Yatzminu V'Yatzvin HaKob Afnei Esav. So you should hide it. Hide your Hatzlacha in front of Esav. That's what we're talking about tonight. Because there's no nation who's as jealous as Israel as Esav. Because in their mind, everything we have is stolen goods. It's all stolen. They have vain zepamayim. They tricked me these few times, Yaakov Avinu. The brachas are not yours. I thought Esav agreed to them in this parsha. He's one of those types of people that really doesn't really agree with anything that you say. He wasn't really masking. They're jealous. It's all stolen because of the brachas that he took. It was the mirma. So Yaakov told them, we're going to read it shortly, Lama Tisrael, that when there was a hunger, so Yaakov says to the Shvatim, why are you showing off? We have food and they don't. So be quiet about it. Don't show off. Don't make the guy get upset at us. So Kli Yakor says that the same thing here we should do. He says that he finds it very distasteful if someone who has a little bit, they wear mavushe kavod, such fancy clothes, and these beautiful homes, like they have millions and millions of dollars, umigarim umos ta'atzmam, and they stir up a hatred amongst the nations, and they go against this idea of pnul lechem tzifona. The Kli Yakor says that we have to have a little modesty. When you're living in Golos, so Baruch Hashem, if we're successful, so you have to keep it in a fashion. It's not showing off and realize this isn't a nation that belongs only to us. There's other people here. They establish a country. The United States of America says in God we trust in the dollar bills, but it's not a b'siyata d'shmaya. You know, it's a little different. We have to, if we're successful here in some sense, so tzafon, keep it hidden, keep it private, keep it quiet on the side. When we're in Gullus and we show it off too much, that's not the idea of Gullus. This is not our real place. Real place we should have, Mashiach should come, Motzei Shabbos should come right away, we should leave, we should go. The Gemara says in Megillah that the one thing that's going to come from Gullus to Eretz Yisrael will be the Batei Knesios. The Batei Knesios of Chutzos is going to come to Eretz Yisrael time of Mashiach. But not your house, right? Not the car, not all those things. That's not going to go. So those things are temporary, we have to remember them this way. That's a very important idea. It's a beautiful vart of the Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe of Melech from Lezhensk, on the first few psukim of this week's parasha. He says, the Torah teaches us here how to act in this terrible, bitter gullus. He says, when we're under the hand of the nations of the world, we have to accept this gullus with Ava until Hashem has Rachlim on us, and He should bring us a Gula quickly. And he says, in the fact of this bitter gullus, you have to be Nichnoim Lefneim, Rekoram Adonim. That's what it says, Kosomun, La'adoni la'esav. Yaakov even called Esav my master. We have to be machni. We have to humble ourselves in front of the nations of the world this time. That's, we have to call them adon. It's a very important idea. So one thing we keep in mind, the Kiddush Hashem also has some modesty in Gullus. And I think this idea of forgetting where we are brings us to a very important point of what the essence of the purpose of the Gullus is. The Mesher Chachma, a very famous Mesher Chachma, at the end of Parshas V'Chukotai. The Chukosha, the Torah speaks of the Tochach over there. And Meshach Chachma writes, the first Tochach was written about the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Nebuah was about it. And it says, what will happen? We don't keep mitzvah, so we kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So Meshach Chachma writes over there, what happened in Jewish history? Why did he become very famous? Anybody know? Because he wrote in that piece, in Parshas Chukosha, and he wrote this in the early 1900s, And he says how people have become so assimilated that they call Berlin Jerusalem. So no, unfortunately, it was a very prescient comment, because he was saying how people were looking at this is really our place, this is our home, and you know, we know what happened. So what was his thesis, the Meshech Chacham? He writes over there that if you look at the cycle of history, so Kadosh Baruch Hu brings us to a nation. We get very comfortable. You go to Spain, we get very comfortable. We get a bubble, we're very comfortable. We rise very high there. We reach pinnacles in the business world, in the political world, and then we forget why Kadosh Baruch Hu put us there. We're not supposed to be in Spain, we're not supposed to be in Babylonia, we're not supposed to be in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, we're supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu took us, he kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael, and you should say, hey, please, I want to come back. What happened? You go to these nations, and you say, hey, it's not so bad out here. It's very good. I like it here. Build a big house, get very comfortable, get buddy-buddy with the government. Maybe I'll change the way I dress a little bit. You know, I don't have to wear such a Jewish-looking hat anymore. Maybe not even any hat, etc., etc. Go further and further down. And then he says, Lola, what has to happen is the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a wake-up call and kick us out of the nation and say, no, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be here for that reason. That's not why you're here. So we get a terrible wake-up call and we're thrown out of that nation, thrown out of another nation, thrown out of another place. So Chas V'Shalom, it shouldn't happen to us again. We daven, it shouldn't happen. And once one of my rabbis once compared this to a very simple, but I think a pointed mashal. He says, it's like, as a parent, you could say this, or a teacher, sometimes your child or your student does something wrong. So you give a little punishment. You send them to the room, you send them to the corner, you send them there, you send them to the, whatever it is. So the hope is that when you give them this punishment, they'll say, oh, I wish I could come back. Right? You know, the kid's standing in the hallway, he was sent out of the room, and you know, he's saying, wow, I really feel bad. The whole class is learning and I'm stuck by myself. Or the family's having dinner downstairs and he's sent up to his room and he should feel bad. I want to come down. Then all of a sudden you think, so, you know, he's not coming back. And you look in the window, he's having a great time. It's tremendous. So that's exactly the goal. It's the Kosh Baruch Hu says, I was supposed to say, we want to come back. But there we missed the point. And I think also these are simple psukim in Parshas Yitzchanan. We unfortunately laying this on Tisha B'Av. And I was thinking, when I was preparing Mashiach, you know, the halachas of Churban Abayis, that you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's a similar in the halachas, it applies all the time. You're supposed to put a certain corner of the house unfinished. When a person gets married, you have the ashes in the head. We're not supposed to have certain types of music because we're in mourning. But unfortunately, we have a veil for Beis HaMikdash at best 3 weeks a year, maybe 9 days a year, and probably for most of us it's 1 day a year. That's it. So the rest of the year, it's great. It's terrific. Yeah. Okay. We know whenever you finish a drush, you say, you know, maybe you made a, you know, we should build a Mashiach, but you don't really think about the words. So this is the problem. What do the Pesukim say? Pesukim describe for us why Kadosh Baruch Hu put us into Galus. Says, when we become old in the land, then we'll stray from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem promises us that we'll be destroyed. The hate is Hashem, it's Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, Chav Tes, Lamed. Vehavit Hashem Eschem Ba'amin. Hashem will spread us out in the Shadim and say Mitzvah Ragoyim. We'll be very few, we'll be all over the world and few people amongst the nations. This is where we are today. Some people here, some people in Russia, some people in South Africa, Australia, Israel, Europe. Happens to be, could be, maybe, who knows, you know, over the past 60, 70 years, Klal Yisrael is coming to be more united into one place, I think. It's the first time right now since Bayis Sheni that the most Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael more than anywhere else. I think there are now, I think around 5 to 6 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So I think that's the highest population of any country in the world of Yidden is in Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, we're still spread it everywhere. So what happens? The Vatim Shem Melimachimaisi the Adam will worship other gods. Now this could mean literally other gods, Avodah Zarah, or in our time, so Avshik Nisbil Davin, thank you, they took away the Yitzhak Avodah Zarah. We can't appreciate it. So there's other types of Otazaras. Not literally, but people worship money. What does it mean worship? That's what runs their life. When I say worship, it means this is my guiding principle. Or it's kavod and honor or status, whatever it may be. So we'll do these things. What will happen? So this is what's supposed to happen. Here's the position. Here's what Hashem tells us. Here's what we should be saying. Uvikashtem yisham es Hashem alokech motzasa. We'll search. There'll be a bakasha. We'll be saying, Akash Baruch, where are you? I'm looking. I'm lost in Golos. Where are you? I'm looking for you. Batzah l'chamutzah, when all these terrible things happen to you, Bachas hayom mishasa, Hashem l'kech, Hashemata b'kolo. So there needs to be a search. There needs to be a bakasha. And worse than that is, that's our davening, three times a day. Yeah, I think to myself, and I say it every day, I'm hoping for your Yeshua every day. So I try to have Kavanah. I say to him, yeah, I really am. But are we? So if not, we're saying Sheker. Davening is saying Sheker. Shalayim Yerchav, Racham Toshu. V'sishko Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Hashem, Yidol Yerushalayim, bring Mashiach. Every single day I'm looking, I'm hoping for this. So are we? So that's the Torah tells us here in Dvarim Shutim, black and white, Sukkim in the Torah. This is the purpose of Galus. To feel that we're distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is something we have to work on. If we're here, and again, we thank the government of this country, the people's country, for protecting us. Chas Be Hashem that we're safe here. We all know, if not that many generations back, our parents and our grandparents who were not safe in the places they were. So we appreciate it. But if we miss the point, then it's for nothing. Then all the Harbatzah Torah that we're getting here, it's a great thing, but there has to be a bakasha looking back. You can't daven every day. Our eyes are looking, and your eyes are looking right here down the street into the bigger house that you want to buy, but now your house is too small. Only has 3 bedrooms. You know, we have to look at that. There are people who live this way. There are people who are looking to that. We should try to follow those examples. So this is something to remember what the purpose of Gullus is. And finally, something that we have to say living in this type of society is that we need to make a certain prisha, a certain separation from the world around us. And I'm talking about the negative influences and things in secular and popular culture that really can be metame, can defile a person's neshama. And this is in 2 ways. Read and Shema every single day. That Hashem tells us the mitzvah you shouldn't stray after. Levavchem, v'achreinechem. Einechem, the Rashi says, Chazal says nus. So I think for our audience here, Baruch Hashem, that's simple. We know that around us, look at anywhere in popular culture, it's just a simple thing. There's a lot of Var Masurim, things you can't look at. You can't listen to, you can't watch, you can't see, and sometimes it's literally hard to walk the street. It's hard to drive down certain highways, the billboards and things you see. And those are just simple Dvar Masurim. It doesn't need a drasha, it doesn't need my explanation. That's clear what it is. That's Acharei Einecha. There's also Acharei Levavcha. We don't realize sometimes that we could be hurt in our hashkafas. Rashi says, Zuminus. This is a certain philosophy, and it seeps in a little bit. And I started off the shiur tonight, we're talking about Thanksgiving. So we said that Thanksgiving is the holiday that the Torah didn't love because it doesn't have to associate with any religious thing and Hodah is a good thing. But at the same time, we have to be careful that some of that seeps in, some of that thinking, some of that secular way of life does affect who we are. One of my classes was teaching a group of teenagers who were, let's say, borderline Orthodox. So it was the day before the Thanksgiving vacation, which is, in some circles, Kodesh Kedushin. So I asked the class the following question. I said, okay, who here is going to have a Thanksgiving meal? They did, of course. It's like a commitment to the Yeraisa. How could you not? It's like a Pesach Seder and Thanksgiving. It's the same importance. I think they prepare the same amount also. So everyone said yes. I said, okay. And also, by way of showing, and who here will be going to Minyan tomorrow? So I don't want to say how many people raised their hand, but it was far less than the math that said they were having the Thanksgiving meal. And who here will be doing mitzvah A, mitzvah B, mitzvah C? So certainly, in certain aspects of the Jewish world, the American culture has seeped in so much that it's affected the identity that people have is, yeah, I'm an American person, and it happens to be. If you ask me, so I'm Jewish, just like my neighbor says he's Protestant, and this one says he's this, and this one says he's an atheist. But it doesn't define who I am. It's not my definition. So that's a danger we have to realize. So, okay, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a place where we have a Makom Tov B'nei Torah, but it could affect us. That's one idea. That living in society around us, we have to have a certain prisha, not only because it's clearly Dvar Masurim everywhere you look, but also because the hashkaf of the society can affect us. You listen to the news, you read the newspapers, we start thinking in that way, and it has such an insidious effect. The other thing I want to say is that unfortunately, I heard this from Adam Guttel, we live in a society that's very technologically advanced, and the way that the Yetzer, the way that Yisurim can get to us, is much easier than it used to be. There used to be, there were safe places you could turn to and look at, and there were unsafe places, and it was clearly defined, clearly marked. But now, as Adam Guttel said, you have Yisurim riding through the airwaves. Mamish, like through the airwaves, are all these things that a person cannot listen to, watch, hear, or see. And if you have a telephone, a computer, or anything, it pop up just like that. So we have to be extra careful. And if you don't believe me, unfortunately, that idea combined with the fact that the barometer that society uses today for what's normal, what's kosher, what's reasonable is so low, do the following test. I promise you'll pass the test, even less I'm not going to give you. Turn on any media outlet, radio, open up a newspaper, whatever it is, just do this one time, never do it again, just for the test, and see how long it takes for you to find something that you would be embarrassed to show or to listen to one of your children. I promise you it will not take 30 seconds. It'll be a lot less than 30 seconds. Okay? Because what's considered to be newsworthy today, and what's considered to be something that you speak about in public, are just partial things that we wouldn't want to see. And if your child was sitting there, you would be embarrassed for them to see it or hear it. Some newspapers is page one. My shiur, there's a certain newspaper that kids like to read because of a good sports section. They know you're not allowed to bring that into the shiur room. It's assumed you're right, so you can't bring it into the room. Don't even bring it here. You can't because it's off there. So some papers, this is page one. But other ones, even some more sophisticated things, or just news stations, whatever it is. It's Dvarim, it's Surim. I promise it won't even take 30 seconds. You'd be embarrassed if your child was there. I think that's a good barometer. If you wouldn't want your child to listen to it, so it shouldn't be you either. So this is our shiur for tonight. We tried to discuss a major inyan. And the inyan was, in Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah is giving us a yardstick. The Torah is giving us a hadracha for how we're supposed to live amongst the Ummas HaOlam. So we went through the story of Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, and we tried to suggest tonight that was really the ikar thing. Sometimes people think in life that how am I going to win? It's through the Hishtadlus. And there were a lot of philosophies in the world that went through this. Certain philosophers said if the Jews are strong, these are current ideas amongst the world today. Jews are strong, we'll be protected. That's all. So never again. Never again. You know, if we're very strong, so no tzar can happen to us. If we have a good army, or if we have nationalism, we'll have a nation, we'll be protected. So it's been proven that that's not correct. And that's exactly the ikkar that Yaakov Avinu is trying to teach us here. If you have an itzachon, ruchni, if you overcome your yitzhar, Kleisel's keeping Torah and mitzvos, so don't have to worry about all these other things. The Mela will be victorious. It's not, we're not going to win. The shtal is what you have to do. That's what you have to make. But that's not the ikkar. The ikkar is what Kleisel's doing in terms of their kedushos. That was how we understood this parasha, and that's why Yaakov was victorious. And we learned four lessons from here. Number one, our obligation to make a Kiddush Hashem when we're living amongst the non-Jews, to try in little ways and in bigger ways, and how strong is by money. Gezel Akum is more chomor than Gezel Yisrael. Tell that to everybody. Put that one in the newspaper. See if they realize that. We're going to sit about having a little tznius in Golus, that if Baruch Hashem we have some atzlacha to keep it to ourselves, to be tzofon, what Noam Elimelech says, that we should realize the Goyim are our donim, that we have to defer to them in some sense, to appreciate the purpose of being here in Golis, that we should be looking, it should be about kashrus, this is not my home, I don't want to be, I want to be somewhere else, and of course to make sure that we're not over on Los Rachavav and Achrei Nechem, we're living in a time and a place that's very dangerous. So we'll end off with what the Chinuch says. The Chinuch says in the midst of Gid Hanasha the following thing. He says that Yaakov was injured. So what kind of injury did he have? He injured the thigh and he limped. So what's a limp? Very beautiful idea the Chinuch says. A limp means you can walk. You're hurt, but you can keep going. You don't stop. You're going to keep going. You're a little injured, you're a little hurt, but you can make it to your end goal. So he says that's the message that we have in golf. So we're going to suffer a lot of blows. There'll be a lot of starts, a lot of injuries. But Kosh Baruch Hu gave us a haftacha that we need to get a nosha, that was the injury. We'll be still going. We'll get there. We'll be able to reach our desired goal in the end. The Kosh Baruch should help us, should be matzliach in overcoming these nisyonos and leaving this gullus. We'll say for real, have your name.
Amen.
Have a good week. Good luck.
Any questions or comments?